Hello, this is Dan Le Batard, and we're doing something a little different this week. It's a little personal for me, and it's usually subject matter that I would consider dry and boring and would ignore all my life, but I think the way this is going to be presented to you, having already done it, I can tell you that it's a pretty interesting discussion that applies across sports, even if you don't care about taxpayers and stadium financing. We got Billy Corbin and David Sampson together here. They've never been in a room together. They don't like each other publicly, and they don't agree on what happened with the Marlins Stadium. At my 50th birthday party, I was embarrassed because David Sampson got on stage and said to a community I love, a community that was there to celebrate Miami with us in sports, he said, you know, $1.2 billion to the crowd, and it was embarrassing to me as someone who cares about this city. But Billy Corbin cares about this city more than I do. He is a activist, and he is out there supporting Miami causes and really coming at politicians. David Sampson's very good at his job as a former team president for the Marlins, and a lot of you are going to think that he comes off, as Billy Corbin calls him at one point, filled with scumbaggery. So this is where we're headed. These two guys got together, sat down, and they've never before discussed this. And I feel like what happened to me on my birthday was embarrassing because I'm lumbering journalist in the background. Fat guy looks like he's drinking and supporting what it is that David Sampson was saying.
That's not that true. You weren't drinking, but you were certainly lumbering and fat.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. And let's bring you in on that point to talk about ZipRecruiter. You shameless corporate shill, because I was sitting here trying to give the audience a reason to listen to stadium talk.
Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates, and that place is ZipRecruiter.com/beach, Dan.
You got to put the slash beach so we get the credit. Give them the other bullet points, Mike.
Oh, ZipRecruiter, it sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. And with their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply. Apply to your job.
And now, right now, for free, to support our show, tell the people how it is that they can support specifically our show by listening to this podcast, rating, subscribing, reviewing, and if you enjoyed it, help us with the sponsorship.
Yeah, South Beach Session listeners right now can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/beach. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BEACH. ZipRecruiter, it's the smartest way to hire.
Before I throw it to this argument, really, that Billy Corbin had with David Sampson, you guys were all here when it was happening. Roy, what did you make of what it is that you heard as they were going back and forth at each other? Because this isn't normally subject matter that we would want to chew on around here.
I think anybody outside of the local area here in Miami would absolutely enjoy the banter between the two.
There's a lot of inside Miami stuff that goes on in this conversation, but you could extrapolate it out to several cities that have had this very same discussion.
If you are tired of stadium talk and anyone telling you about economist Andrew Zimbalist, if that's not for you, I understand it. But I think the tension between David Sampson and Billy Corbin is palpable, and I think it's worth listening to.
I like any interview where you can kind of feel that two people talking don't really like each other too much.
It turns into a smart-ass competition, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And who won?
We all win.
Hello, I'm Dan Le Batard. Got two people in a room here who have never been in the same room before. They are diametrically opposed on an issue. Both of them are exceptional at what they do. Billy Corbin is a civic activist. You know him as Cocaine Cowboys, the U movies. He's got Screwball. You're going to want to see that because it's very good. David, you're going to enjoy that. It's about how screwed up Miami is when it comes to drugs with baseball and how we were a hotbed for producing baseball cheating talent and how stupid we were about it. You're going to enjoy that movie. David Sampson is with us. I like and respect David, even though he is unpopular and controversial. And furthermore, he's an excellent businessman. And what I wanted to do for the audience, put them in a room together and talk out this issue of what David did right, what David did wrong, how Billy feels that Miami and this baseball situation, everyone in Miami got taken for a little bit of a ride, even though I don't think that David believes that. So let's start.
I've never met Billy.
This is the first time?
I've heard his name so many times, A, because he makes good films, but I would never see them on principle. But B, he always had an opinion on things that I never understood why he wouldn't just one time pick up the phone and make a phone call and get an explanation that would come prior to using your platform to try to influence without full knowledge.
I am well known to have been in a room or in interview situations with people like, as you pointed out, fake doctors who pump high school children full of poison and steroids, drug smugglers who have filled the streets of this country with all sorts of deadly toxic substances, murderers responsible for the horrific deaths of slaughter of women and children. And now I'm happy to add David Samson to the list of morally reprehensible and ethically dubious people that I've shared.
I've been on a lot of lists, Billy. I can only tell you that is one I've never been associated with.
Right, well, Mazel tov.
Let me understand why you find him to be ethically dubious, because I find David Samson to be an extraordinary businessman who took advantage of a lot of dumb political figures in our banana republic. I don't know how much I can blame him for that, given that his job is to be a businessman.
Can't quite argue with the fundamentals of that point, I think.
But that was your whole point.
I think David has a responsibility, a fiduciary responsibility, in fact, to his investors and to his partners to negotiate the best deal possible for his side. He can't, as Jimmy Johnson used to say when he was accused of running up the scoreboard, I can't coach both teams. I can't be blamed for the failure of the other coach to properly defend his territory. Yeah, there is a lot of truth to that the fault ultimately lies in the bureaucrats and the elected officials who are supposed to represent us. But I think that that's slightly disingenuous in that there is the corruption of those characters, the corruption of our public officials is something that the oligarch class, if you will, has to take some responsibility for. You can't simply say, I'm just taking advantage of the opportunity. You have to say, I will say, you know, you said earlier that I care a lot about Miami. I will say there is a consistency to David and Loria's scumbaggery, if you'll pardon the expression, in that there has never been an effort to pretend for a moment that they give a shit about Miami.
It's absolutely
or its
untrue. It's actually offensive. Here's why. First of all, you're using a lot of legal words that you can use when you are the director and the writer and the producer and it's your show and your platform. You have the right to use words that maybe you don't understand or that you're using them purposefully. But when you're talking about corruption and oligarchy, obviously, as you know, MLB is not an oligarchy, right?
So it's a legal monopoly.
Legal monopoly is not a synonym to oligarchy. So I'm just saying you're using words that to the audience, Dan's audience is pretty smart. You make smart films, right? You don't try to pander to the disadvantaged. You are trying to tell a story. And all I'm saying is you tell a very one-sided story that has complete confirmation bias. You are simply saying things that in your mind bolster what you've already shown to be your only opinion. I would only tell you this. Corruption has nothing to do with what a business deal is in sports or in any business. And if you think that baseball is the only industry that gets public dollars to do business in this community,
of course not.
Then you're mistaken.
No,
and
I
by
agree.
The way, do you ever get film subsidies?
Once we did.
You should try to get more because people are leaving Florida because Florida got rid of them, which is not great.
I'm fine with that. And I think that because what happens is ultimately when you pit states against each other in corporate welfare, it's a race to the bottom until the taxpayer just wind up completely financing, let alone subsidizing entire private industries to enrich private business owners like myself or yourself. I think there's a lot of, there's a lot of talk about, for example, the entitlement society used to impugn the concept of public funding going to assist people in need. But I don't think we have an entitlement society. I think we have a crony capitalism society where the truly entitled people are the wealthy people, the so-called job creators that believe that they're entitled to public funding, to corporate welfare, in this case, to sports welfare. And we sit around.
I wish you wouldn't say entitled. Can you find a better word? In your vast vocabulary, entitled has an implication that is not accurate. We were not entitled to do a deal with the public. We were not entitled to that. We made an offer. They accepted. They made an offer. We accepted. That's a contract.
There is a very clear rule book that the leagues have in place. It's not a written rule book per se, but it is a very clear a plan of attack, and they have duplicated this in city after city, municipality after municipality, state after state. Florida is not the only state. Miami isn't the only city, or Miami-Dade isn't the only county to be taken in by this. In fact, what I think is sort of funny and interesting about it is that David probably knows this all too well, is that for decades, Florida was MLB's stalking horse. Florida was, see Major League, even see Slapshot. Florida was, we'll pack up our shit and move our place down to Florida.
Do you know what the first team who's going to be in Florida? Do you know, Dan?
I do not.
The San Francisco Giants were threatening to move to Tampa, actually. And that is when Larry Baron, his group, the current group now, they stood up and they bought the team to keep it in San Francisco. And they actually built a privately funded ballpark in San Francisco. They must be your heroes.
Heroes of mine.
Heroes.
Absolutely. And listen, one of the biggest mistakes, one might argue, not for you certainly, but for Major League Baseball, was actually bringing baseball to Florida.
Where it's never worked, really. I mean, it's won a couple of titles, but baseball as a business hasn't really worked for the cities that it's in. It's worked for the people who put their business in.
What's your definition of that, working?
You've made $1.2 billion when you sell your franchise at considerable profit.
I meant for the city. What is your definition?
Oh, just people coming and supporting the thing because we built them a stadium to create a an economy in downtown Miami.
Lowest attendance, lowest revenue.
But under that theory, San Francisco did not deserve a team back when the Giants chose not to go to Tampa, right?
That's fine, too. Just like had you guys moved the team to Las Vegas, not only would we not have felt zero economic impact in this town, we would have saved a ton of money, and nobody would miss the Marlins. Let's be perfectly honest about that. So,
right.
Yeah, if San Francisco had lost the team to Tampa, nobody would be going to see the San Francisco team in Tampa, just like nobody's going to see the Montreal team in Miami.
In Washington. Was that purposeful? It's hard to tell.
Listen,
without simulcast.
I just came back from Canada premiering Screwball at the Toronto Film Festival, and Montreal sends its regards, David.
He doesn't miss one, Dan. That's pretty good. I've noticed. I've got the timer going on the iPhone. It's every 45 seconds. There has to be an unadulterated insult flown across the studio. It's 45
seconds.
It's
early yet. Hold on. I think he might speed that up.
Some of them are adulterated, I would argue.
Well, I want to know, though, David, how you find – I don't find Billy to be ill-informed in any way. Like, you were mentioning that you guys have gone back and forth and he hasn't had your perspective on things, but I don't find him to be generally ill-informed.
Just because someone has a different view than I does not make them ill-informed. I do not – I respect his point of view. I would communicate it differently. What Billy has done historically, and what's bothered me about the way Billy's done it, and I would tell you this directly, I've never told you directly, but
you
now
are.
That you're here,
directly,
I'm telling you directly. You've made it personal, and there's no reason for that. There's no reason the things that you have done and said as they related to me, and by the way, I've got a thick skin, I couldn't give one shit. So I don't care what you say, it's never bothered me. It bothered the people around me, it bothered my family. Because it was so visceral in nature. If you want to have the view that you're against public
finance. Well, he's pissed off, though. He is pissed off, and I get it.
To be pissed off against a thing is different than to be pissed off against a person or a personal person. Very different.
I don't think the attacks have ever been, if I'd call them attacks, ad hominem, I don't think they've ever been personal in a way where I've attacked you personally. It's certainly been the nature of the arrangement, the nature of the business that you were.
But scumbaggery is very strong.
Yeah, but I think accurate. Again, I'm not uninformed.
That's my
I'm
hope.
Not uninformed.
Yes, you are.
That's
an adjective that you're choosing to use. That's a personal adjective. That's not a descriptive adjective. If we're trying to
adverb,
teach the audience scumbaggery, I took out the ere and made it scumbag. Let's not get into a grammar fight. I believe you'll lose that one.
Even that's a noun.
I don't
scumbag.
Want, nobody wants
Even
to hear the
noun.
Grammar fight. Nobody's here for the grammar fight. I want to be more informed by you two. We can take it into the mud if you want to, but I'd like the audience to get more informed.
I want to tell you a story about why there is a team in Miami and the danger of too many people being like you in one community and why there has to be a check and a balance of activists who are like you versus people like me who are willing to take on activists and do what they think is right for the community. We absolutely care about Miami. I love Miami. It's my home. And I have done, and the Marlins have done, way more than you've done, both financially and hourly, in this community for people in need. Way more. It's not even a question.
We've given you billions of dollars. What do you mean way more? What's the ROI on that, David?
I think that you say we. I think that's a very, very misleading statement.
It's not.
As
you're talking about TDT, you're going to talk about bed tax.
Don't use initials without saying what they are.
You're talking about tourist tax, bed tax, hotel tax.
Tourist development tax,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Convention development tax.
Yes.
Bed tax.
Yes.
Do you know who pays those taxes?
If
say
the
you.
Taxes,
I dare you to say you.
If the taxes are collected by our government, That is our money.
That's not correct.
It is our money.
Billy.
And I don't care that the state legislature limits what it is that we're able to spend it on. I can tell you
I don't care. There's 24 hours in a day. To me, there's 36.
That is an arbitrary act of the legislature that could just as easily be changed in any session, legislative session in Tallahassee, number one. Number two, as we saw in 2014, Mayor Jimenez was actually able to tap into the tourist tax, the bed tax, the hotel tax, to deal with shortfalls in the budget across police, across parks. That money is our money, David. The idea that you feel that it is your money or that it is earmarked only for sports welfare is a misguided
concept.
Okay,
again, you're so good at making a point and then you go too far. It's not me feeling that it's earmarked for me. It is actual law. And if you go back and actually read things that I've said over time, it is 100% true that if the state legislature would change the law, there would be no public financing of stadiums in Florida. But they haven't, and so there is. So it's not a matter of telling me that our state legislature doesn't matter, or the fact that it's a law that the money can only be used for conventions or for facilities, museums, things like that. That's what it says. So you can argue all you want against it. Go vote out the people in Tallahassee who don't do what you want. Use your vote.
It makes it very difficult to do when people, when moneyed interests are financing those candidates and those campaigns. It keeps those people.
You can afford to give as much to candidates as we do. It's $500. Can you do that?
That's not exactly how that's not how soft money works. That's not how PACs work. That's not everybody. I think, as you said, the audience is smart enough to know that people with money find very simple ways within the law to donate
more
money.
How much state money went into the ballpark?
Very little state money. State
How would
money?
You describe very little? Just give me a round number.
I don't know.
Zero.
I don't know the answer to that.
Zero.
Yeah.
So
it's county and city money.
Zero. So we
county and city
and
money.
Private money. It's called a public-private partnership.
Let's not get carried away.
$165 million into a community asset where we want a rate of return on that investment. Wow, it sounds like Jorge Mas may be doing that for soccer. It sounds like people do that every day. Amazon. You think Amazon was choosing Miami for nothing?
No, and not
why didn't they choose Miami?
I thought that was a terrible idea, particularly because that deal was secret while it was being negotiated. I thought that was a far worse example, or greater example, I should say, of corporate welfare than arguably the Marlins deal. And I think Jorge Mas is arguably being far more deceitful in his process than you guys were in your process. I don't think the idea that we did a terrible deal with you guys means we should do a less terrible idea with Moss or Amazon or, I mean, the question is, will we ever learn from
Burger King
from our mistakes? Burger, absolutely.
No, you won't learn from mistakes because this is not just Miami. This is every community in the country.
Yes.
There are incentives because the role of government is to actually conduct business.
You
That's
call them incentives. It's corporate welfare is what it, let's call it what it is. That's what you didn't want me to call it. You had a problem with my term.
Why can't it just be giving rich people help that they don't necessarily need? I think that we don't need
it. That's the same as welfare.
Okay.
Right.
Actually, welfare is for poor people who do need it. When the richest country in the history of civilization and a civilized country wants to contribute to those in need, the infirm, the elderly, children, the poor, that's different from welfare for billionaires, meaning it's not just the definition.
Why do all baseball teams and all companies here have community foundations and community efforts and go around doing turkey drives? Why are there pictures of Jeter giving turkeys away during Thanksgiving? Is that meaningful to you as a part of the community, or is it just for show?
Oh, no. Absolutely, but the county can also do that without giving you $3.4 billion to unjustly
enrich
yourself.
Stop using numbers
that
are wrong. Stop. It's not $3.4 billion. Do you have a mortgage? I actually don't want to talk personally because I'm not going to be personal. I'm going to use math, very simple math, because the listeners can do it more complicated, but I'm going to assume that maybe the three of us cannot. When you buy a house for $500,000, let's say you have to put 20% down. That's $100,000. You go to a bank and you get a mortgage for $400,000. Have you ever had a mortgage? I have. Have you ever owned a house? Most people who own a house have a mortgage. The mortgage in this case was $400,000. You pay it back over 30 years. You pay back way more than $400,000 because of the interest. Are you aware of that?
How much?
Are you aware of that concept?
How much more?
That's a simple yes or no. Are you aware of the concept?
Well, obviously I am. That's why I use the term. That's why I use the figure $3.4 billion.
It's actually 2.4.
Wait a second.
But that's the gross up.
County and city?
Yes, but then Jeffrey put in $1.1 billion.
Okay.
You can't just gross up one side and not the other.
But that's fine. I'm fine with that. But how is that equitable? When Jeffrey was the sole person profiting from The value of that
sale, not annually.
He was the sole person profiting. He was enriched by an over two-thirds investment on the part of the taxpayer.
Yes.
What I'm saying is, what is the ROI for turkeys on Thanksgiving, David? That we should pay $2.4 billion for turkeys on Thanksgiving. That's what I'm wondering.
What's the ROI on the Performing Arts Center? What's the ROI when they film Bad Boys on the 395?
I feel like Stugatz here. What's an ROI?
Sorry. Return on investment. My bad. Good one. It means when you invest a dollar in something, you want to get back more than a dollar. When you put a dollar in the bank, you want to look in your savings passbook and have a dollar and 3 cents at the end of the month.
Right. So if you say we're giving, David says, well, we created all these jobs, and you say, but it cost us $2 billion. You then divide the $2 billion by the number of jobs created and say, was that really worth? We could have just handed these people $40,000 a year.
That's not ROI.
No, but I'm saying these are.
But he asked what ROI was.
Yeah, but we're also
such a self-serving explanation.
But we're trying to. The whole point was to convert it to layman terms so people can understand what they're getting.
I just did a dollar in a passbook. That's layman's terms.
No, it's not. It's what are we getting for our money? What are we getting?
If I have
for
a dollar three at the end of the month instead of a dollar,
what
I got
is the ROI
cents.
On turkeys? I was using the example of jobs.
You can't measure it. You can't measure
it's
baseball.
It's immeasurable.
It is immeasurable. I can't measure the value of the Performing Arts Center. I can't measure
That's
the value.
Shit.
You can measure it?
It's horseshit.
Wait a minute. Tell me.
First and foremost.
When you start swearing, I know you're going to have a good point coming next.
I perfectly, it's my tell. I better than anybody, who I think Dan has credited in part with inventing the sports porn genre on 30 for 30, understand the intangibles of sports. Meaning there is an intangible value that sports can bring to a community in terms of pride, in terms of brand building, that is unquantifiable in real metrics.
It's also unquestionable in that they were selling us all that under the idea that South Florida could become major league back when that meant something, back when being major league was something that South Florida
that
wanted to be
hope.
Considered.
That was the hope. Why did Huizenga leave? He didn't get a new ballpark, and he couldn't make it work. John Henry couldn't get a ballpark, wouldn't build it himself, so he left. Do you know how many people were volunteering to buy the Marlins in 02 when Jeffrey did? How many local Floridians, South Floridians, the Brahmins of the world?
It was zero, right?
Zero. Yeah. They would have sold it to any local person.
David, we're a flight capital town, you guys included.
Okay.
That's all. We're a flight. Nobody in town
can
afford.
You can't fly if you've never been here.
Nobody in town
it's
can
only
afford.
Flight if you've been
can
here.
Afford to invest in something like that.
No one could have afford.
There's a finite number of
That's
buyers locally. There's a finite number of buyers for a major league
at 1.2 billion maybe, but at 100 million back in 2002, I don't agree with you. And by the way, I know for a fact because I've spoken to no fewer than 20 businessmen who look back and say, man, I could have done that deal. I should have done that
deal. The difference is they as locals knew that this was not going to be a major league baseball town. They knew that. And so what
But for a business deal, they would do it 10 times out of 10.
And
George Perez thinks that there are not too many condos
here. And had you not gotten the stadium, they would have been correct.
Okay.
Right.
How could I ever argue with that? It's not a relevant argument.
And Norman Brayman would not have come in, bought a Major League Baseball team, and then started hustling for a stadium.
There would have been a lot of local buyers if they had the stadium deal in play.
But that is antithetical to Norman's ideology to come in and hustle for.
No Norman Brayman talk because he's a mensch with a great art collection who gives to charity.
But that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is he wasn't going to buy.
Did he ever go for public money that you're aware of?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
And do you think he's bitter that he didn't get in Philadelphia?
Absolutely.
Okay. His whole life is based on that bitter moment that he has not had enough analysis to deal with, and he has carried that into the political arena to try to make up for the horrific loss that he feels for not being able to get a job done.
And has been very consistent ever since then.
Very
in his
consistent.
Position against sports welfare.
Correct.
Absolutely. And publicly financed stadiums.
Correct.
And the reason is, for example, if you were, you know, say like, why is sports welfare bad? Why is public financing of stadiums bad? That would be like asking someone to prove that the earth is round, that the sky is blue, or that water is wet. It is absolutely understood. In fact, economic journals cease to publish studies about the lack of value to taxpayers in publicly financed stadiums because it's already understood. 35 out of the top economists in the country, 34 out of the top 35 economists in the country absolutely agree that
I have not heard a lot of economists argue on behalf of the idea of the public funding stadiums. Most economists
argue the other side. I could hire someone, and we did hire someone who had the opposite conclusion. You can hire someone who doesn't.
I'm talking about independent experts on the
everyone
on
has
subject.
An agenda. You have an agenda sitting here today, as do I, and as does Dan.
But there's
and that's
no, but to be fair, there's absolutely no upside to my agenda. When you say my agenda could be just to shut the f up and go to a football game and be VIP and be nice and buddy buddy with all the politicians. I could close my mouth and be a lot happier and richer and whatever. The answer is I wouldn't be happier because I would not be honest with myself. I wouldn't be honest with my community. I wouldn't be, you know, and that's your play. That's not my play.
Well, don't tell me what my play is.
Okay.
That's not my play.
Okay.
So my play is that I was hired to do a job and I did a job. If I had been hired by the other side, and I were representing the county, I would have done a different job. And
you would have done exactly. To be fair, they worked for you ultimately in the end.
I would have had a completely different role. If I were representing one of the commissioners, anything, I would have had a different role. If I were working for Norman Brayman, I would have had a different role. My job was not to have an opinion. My job was to do the job I was hired to do, which was to increase the value of the asset that I was in charge of. That was my only job. To the extent that we could get a World Series ring and make some memories and do some good in the community, I think that that's a bonus for me, but that wasn't my job.
Billy, I don't think you finished. You were saying that something was bullshit, but I don't think you finished the point there.
I don't remember the specific point I was making, but
you were fired up.
We could go bullshit full stop. I'm cool with
all
that.
Right, well,
that would
what,
make the point
your,
the same. Like,
what are your
likely.
Objections specifically to David Sampson and what it is that happened here?
I would agree with him and I would agree with you that David did an exceptional job for his side. And there's without fail, and I don't think either of you would argue with me, is that, you know, part of what's broken, or a big part of what's broken in this town and arguably this country, is we have politicians, so-called elected representatives, who have warped priorities and perverse incentives. And the warped priorities are they measure progress by the number of construction cranes that they can count on the horizon and the amount of money they can give away to their millionaire and billionaire campaign contributors. It's the circle of life in politics, not just here. And the perverse incentives are, and David understands this all too well, I'm sure, they're not negotiating with their money. They're negotiating with other people's money, the politicians. And so they really don't have an incentive to create the best deal possible for their side. And in fact, in many cases, go to great lengths to conceal, in the case of the Amazon negotiation, which was all secret, which is insane. I mean, absolutely insane. And for David, for example, when they didn't release their financials, when they lied about the financial health of
never
the,
line.
When they lied about the financial health of the,
did you
of
look
the
at
franchise.
The financials? You want to bring that up? Really want to talk about that?
Well, let's talk about Deadspin reported certain things. Let's talk about
it's
that.
They didn't report anything, actually. They simply released financial statements. But I really would love to know, did you actually read the financials?
I did. My eyes glazed over.
I'm asking, do you understand financial statements?
I do.
Okay. And what you're saying is you read the financial statements and from that you took that we lied. Was that your conclusory statement?
Not simply based on the financials.
Every time I say a point, he backtracks from the point he was previously making. I'm finding it all very confusing.
I didn't rely solely on the financials to determine that you were disingenuous. That's what I'm saying.
No, but the beginning of this exchange was the financial statements lied with the financial statements. Once they were released, it was turned out that they were lying. You said
that's
that.
Not, no, that
I
is
can
not,
replay
that is not,
this
let's
podcast.
Replay it.
I don't
want
to replay it. Just go to
wait,
the next
instant,
point.
Do you have an instant replay rule?
I don't want to go to
the
replay.
Next point. The fact of the matter is that your point – It's so liberal. It's so socialist based. And I'm trying to understand what you want your government to do. Carlos Alvarez was the mayor of Miami who ran on a platform that said, I am going to do a public-private partnership to build a ballpark. He said it, yet he was voted in. And then he got recalled. Do you recall that?
I recall him getting
okay.
recalled.
Do you know how to stop the Miami ballpark from having happened? Don't vote him in the first place. That's easy. If you don't like the way politicians are acting, you have the right as a voter to go out and rock the vote. But don't complain when someone who got voted in does exactly what they said. What you should be more scared about is voting people into office who then do a flip-flop and start doing things that actually they did not campaign for. And that's not the case with this ballpark.
Billy, what did you think was disingenuous about either the financials or David's behavior? Because he might crawl through some gray areas that all businessmen do, but to end up on the wrong side of legal stuff or corruption or even disingenuous, I haven't seen a whole lot of that. So what is it specifically that you're referencing?
Well, the first thing I want to address is the socialism thing. Comunista, comunista.
He called you because, Castro.
Absolutely. So
I did not call him Castro.
Oh, that's a bad subject. I'm sorry. Ozzie Guillen, post-traumatic. I will edit, not edit that out. Those are my words. Continue, Billy.
So I will say that obviously socialism is okay when it's welfare for millionaires and billionaires. It's not okay when the richest country in the world gives $35 a week for groceries to poor people or to children. So which version of socialism is okay? The idea that government should be business friendly. You won't get a whole lot of argument from me. I think there's absurd levels of bureaucracy. Just the amount of time in a week that my producing partner spends dealing with total nonsense and not being productive, not doing business development, not actually as a producer producing is absurd. I think anybody who owns
critical.
Absolutely. It damages the business. The government intervention, call them regulations, whatever you want, it absolutely damages the ability of private business to progress. And
are you calling for less regulation right now? Because
no,
that's newsworthy.
What I'm calling for is for government to not be an impediment to the progress of private businesses. What I'm not calling for is corporate welfare. What I'm not calling for is film incentives. What I'm not calling for is sports welfare. But I do believe, just like you hand out turkeys for Thanksgiving, I do believe that the richest country in the world, that we're lucky enough, blessed enough to have been born in it. Because let's be real, we don't get to pick our parents. We open our eyes one day, we look around, we see the hand we're dealt, and we gotta play it. Some people are able to overcome adversity and odds. Some people aren't, okay? But I believe if we're lucky enough to be born and live in America, in this country, you give something back, and what we give back is we pay our taxes. We pay our taxes, we pay our fair share, and it enables the system that fostered us, that allowed us to create what we've created and to accomplish what we've accomplished. It enables hopefully other people to be able to do that. I'm a big believer in this system. Is it flawless? Obviously not. Is it broken? Probably. Is it corrupt? Definitely. But I'm a big believer in everybody doing their fair share and helping. Not everybody can pull themselves up by their bootstraps, in the words of Martin Luther King, especially if they never had bootstraps to begin with. So I believe that we have to give each other a shot in this country. It's a shared, this experiment is a shared experiment. It's a shared experience. That's really hard in Miami. I know that. Miami is a very selfish, myopic town. It's, you know, they don't call it our Emmy. They call it my Emmy.
Oh,
you know, it's okay. It's
yeah,
not your Emmy. It's not our, it's my Miami. And that's how we drive. That's how we treat each other.
That is how we
But Miami is a shared experience. We're all on the 836. You don't have to be an asshole and cut me off to get one car length in front of me without turn signals. I'm here with you. We're all in this together. The Miami-Dade Expressway Authority. I get it. Why can't this just be, you know, that kind of shit?
That was beautiful. How is he disingenuous? I loved it.
I feel like singing the national anthem.
No, but
I have a tear in my eye. How did you answer Dan's question?
Well, what I answered was, which you have to in this town, I think Dan can attest to that, when someone calls you socialist or says you believe in socialism. I think that has something, especially in Miami, of all places, that needs to be addressed. So now let me answer.
Thank you for addressing
that. And what I was actually
I will
saying,
not comment on any of your political views.
I was the one who brought up Castro. Can we move it off of socialism and communism?
What I was actually saying 45 minutes ago when I started this referencing your disingenuousness is the fact that I believe that Dave and Mr. Loria were entitled to not open their books. If our side, so to speak, the people representing the taxpayers, were not demanding that he do that. That was certainly his prerogative. And I'm sure you would have a lot to say about the fact that you weren't misusing the revenue share proceeds that other team owners, I believe, accused you guys
of doing. You were accused
of doing.
Players Union as well accused you of
you
that,
got,
right?
You guys were consistently slashing payroll and amongst the, in addition to lowest attendance, the lowest payrolls.
Those are related, shockingly.
But why should they be? We when we're paying for your stadium,
it's not our job to lose money every year and write checks just to be good community partners.
It's not our job to build stadiums. It's not our job to
you
build stadiums to turn millionaires into billionaires.
We didn't make anybody sign a document, just like we didn't make Jeter pay $1.2 billion. Jeter is so angry with me. I'll get arrested if I go to Marlins Park. I didn't make him wire the money. Not at all. He chose to. His partner chose to. That makes me a bad guy? Not fine.
Hopefully you'll be okay that I'm not victim blaming here exactly. That's not what's happening. You were very much a party to this very unsavory deal. And a deal that...
What does unsavory mean for the listeners? What does unsavory mean?
Como se dice...
No, unsavory,
unkosher,
distasteful.
Unkosher, distasteful. Okay. Yes. Sour, leaves a sour taste.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, we finally agreed on something.
Well, I think one of the issues here...
Still hasn't answered your question.
As I mentioned, we'll get to that in a second, but I do think that one of the issues in play here is that David is unemotional, cold about this is straight business. And anything that you want in terms of civic pride and intangible economic benefits, that he is very coldly business-oriented. And he just slaughtered our commissioners. He slaughtered our system because he's not doing anything in the way of emotion on this. He's cutting through it and saying it. How is it my responsibility to protect this community getting more money from this community?
You say slaughter. I say exploit. Tomato, tomato. But I would say that's my position. I care about this community. I do. And I appreciate. I can't say I respect or admire, but I appreciate the consistency, as I said, of your position or your scumbaggery, as I put it early on. You have never had
It was my job.
You've never
it's
had
not
a,
who I am.
And you've never had a different position, be it the famous Beacon Council breakfast speech, be mm-hmm. it your biography on Survivor. Mm-hmm. You have always, and I do
I
appreciate.
Think he Googled me.
I do appreciate.
What are those things for the audience that doesn't know?
David gave a very famous speech that was there was an audio recording released of at the Beacon Council, which is sort of a downtown kind of development type civic, a chamber of commerce type organization, where he said absolutely accurately, I might add, another thing we agree on, addresses the stupidity, I think was the something to that term, or the ignorance or the lack of an intellect of our politics.
I said we are amongst the smartest people in the community in this room.
Yes.
The great thing about people like you now in – there's accountability. You used to be able to just get on a platform and say whatever you want, and you're used to that and without being called. Now there's actually videotape. If people are willing to go back and look at that speech, or if people are willing to go back and look at the facts or read documents, you'd be proven wrong on almost everything you said. Which, by the way, I'm being so patient. Time is running out. Can you answer Dan's one question?
Wait, hang on. Proven wrong. I said I agreed with what you said at the Beacon Council.
No, but
I said I agreed.
You presented it in a way that is bolstering your opinion of both me.
What was your Survivor bio? What was the Survivor bio?
Survivor's a TV show, and I applied to be on Survivor. And one of the questions they ask in your bio is, what accomplishments are you most proud of? And I said, it was very fresh. I said, my accomplishment that I'm most proud of is getting the county of Miami-Dade and the city of Miami to contribute $500 million toward a new ballpark.
To pay for a stadium during a recession.
And albeit during a recession.
Oh, wait a second.
By the way.
The thing about accountability, here's the thing.
That was awesome. Do you realize?
Here's the thing about accountability.
Do you see movies by Adam McKay?
Of course. I love Adam McKay.
Okay. Big Short. You know, the whole Big Short took place while we were doing the stadium deal?
Yeah, well, I had actually interviewed someone in the mortgage business. You remember in those days, you could actually go to a drive-thru at Washington Mutual and your dog could get a mortgage.
Yep.
You'll remember. And very funny, before the Big Short, before the book was even written, let alone the film made, Miami was ground zero, as it always is. The Miami of today is the America of tomorrow. And so this guy said to me, man, we were doing crazy shit down here. He goes, we were down here lighting the fires, and Wall Street was trying to read our smoke signals. That's how that was played. And then, of course, Florida was ground zero for bank closures. The FDIC had to open an office. We had a bank here. Arguably, an even bigger hustle than Dave's was the bank where
David,
where the bank, it was entirely developers who decided to start their own bank, and 90% of the loans were all insider loans to each other across.
So do you know the big
the
difference?
Table.
So let's just bring this down one level. In The Big Short, one of the issues is, there were laws being broken with collateralized mortgage securities, and they were basically breaking the law. I never broke a law, ever. I operated within the constraints of the rules of every single rule put in front of me of every single legal document. What I was bragging about, because it's so awesome, is that we were able to get a stadium deal done in this community when much richer, more famous people, Huizenga and Henry, had not been able to, and we did it at the height of the one of the biggest recessions of our lifetime. That's awesome.
You could see how that might be perceived as gloating.
No, I think it's just it's awesome.
Listen,
it's like saying it's like you coming up with the ability to do a movie about steroids, and you're very good at what you do.
But then
and
I don't review my own goddamn movie. But I will say this: you, you know, as a Major League Baseball president, is a wonderful film critic. I will say that.
Congratulations.
Hey, a compliment. I will say that. Absolutely.
A softened compliment. I would like to know, though, and the only reason I'm pressing you on this is because I'd like David pressed on it. Where do you think he was lying? Because the SEC investigated them, and I'm just curious.
Well, I didn't suggest he broke any laws, though. I didn't mean to infer that, nor did I.
But what about the financial documents? I read those financial documents and didn't understand what I was reading. And I don't know how accountants can manipulate financial documents. I do know that one place that David is guilty is he was fudging attendance numbers, but it's only because he's admitted it to me. It's not because I'm sitting there doing investigative work to reveal that.
But you have to remember, I wasn't simply referring. David made it all about the financials. I cited the financials, but was also referring to the accusations by fellow league owners about the, I don't want to use the term misappropriation, but how the revenue sharing funds.
You guys were penalized for that. Were you not reaching a salary?
That's disingenuous. Floor? That's disingenuous.
So I'm now allowed to tell the story, which I think I'm going to tell.
Oh, wow.
Cause I'm not in baseball anymore. That was a deal that we agreed to with the union. We agreed to sign that piece of paper. Everyone on every side knew that wasn't true what was in that piece of paper.
The settlement, so to speak, or the, okay.
To raise the payroll. We were signing, we knew where our payroll was going, and so did baseball and so did the union. What many people may not know, the union has the financial statements of all 30 teams, as does the league. So when a union says, oh, we know the Marlins or the A's or the, some other teams are part of a grievance, they're not spending the revenue sharing money, they know already. They've got the detailed audited financial statements of where the money's going, which is why these grievances never go anywhere. It's all just posturing on the part of the union and on the part of MLB. And because of where we were as an organization, we did not have a ballpark and we were negotiating to get one. And I needed 23 votes either to approve a ballpark or to approve a relocation. There's 30 teams in baseball. With 23 votes in baseball, we can make it a 6-inning game with 2 balls and 1 strike per at bat.
That's you can change anything if you've got a vote of 23.
That's it. You need 23 votes. I needed 23 votes. I needed 23 votes to approve Jeter. I needed 23 votes to approve the ballpark deal, a TV deal, to approve relocation of the Marlins. I needed people in Miami who I was negotiating against to believe that there was a chance that the Marlins would relocate. In order to do that, I had to have baseball's permission. Now cut to why we would do a deal like that with the union. Why would the Marlins be in agreement to sign a piece of paper
that makes you look bad, right? That makes you look bad to everybody.
Because it didn't mean one thing to me as it related to the value of the asset. And that's what I cared about because that's what my job was. I needed a ballpark or I needed to relocate. And I needed MLB to play ball. And if they in the union needed me to be a fall guy for a revenue sharing issue that they wanted to pretend was there, I stood up and said, I'm happy to sign that on behalf of the Marlins. I will say that we were in violation. I will say we'll raise our payroll, and I'll be the one that everyone can point to and Google for the rest of time. But when it comes time, I'm going after the 23 votes, and I'm going to get them. And we got permission to explore relocation, which is when I went with a cowboy hat and a cowboy boots to San Antonio. I went with Oscar Goldman and the Showgirls. And the purpose.
It was all ridiculous theater. All of it. You weren't going to any of those places.
That's what I want. Now, first of all, I obviously.
That might be a little disingenuous just because you got to put a cowboy hat on.
This is why I had to buy it. And I've never worn it.
I'm sure it was subsidized by our taxpayers.
I'm certain you build it back. I'm certain you guys build back chewing gum to the taxpayers. So let me.
I actually did put it on my expense report, if that's what you're asking.
Which no, believe me when I tell you, wound up. So I have no reason to doubt your story. Obviously, I'll be the first to tell you that just because someone strikes a plea bargain doesn't necessarily mean that they're guilty. Some people feel compelled that it's in their best interest to. So that's it's a perfectly plausible description. At the moment, we don't have any independent verification, so I'll have to take your word for it. That said, it's certainly a bad look, as the kids say, and it's certainly
I never cared how I looked.
And it's certainly part and parcel of the playbook that I was referencing earlier, and the playbook being what the leagues, not just Major League Baseball, but all, let's be honest. I mean, I think that 87% of NFL stadiums have been financed by the taxpayers. There's an outrageous rate, NFL, I'm talking. It's pretty wild.
It's a very specific number. Do you know that?
I do.
There's
I do
no way
know
to
that.
Independently verify
I,
it.
I do know that. I do know that between about 1992 and 2012,
right.
Taxpayers spent about $18.6 billion on NFL stadiums. During that same time period, NFL owners spent $6 billion. That's a pretty significant.
That's your major objection, is it not?
Like, absolutely. That's the Brookings Institution's major objection. That's Stanford's major objection. That is Smith College's major objection. And the playbook.
Come on, Andrew Zimbalist.
The playbook.
Are you talking about Andrew Zimbalist?
He is among that list of economists.
What's so good about you and what I respect about Billy is his ability to actually manufacture something to change people's opinion. He throws out Smith College. You just did a laundry list of people who have a certain view. You throw out Smith College. You have no idea what they actually think. You know what Andrew Zimbalist thinks, and he represents them, right?
He's the loudest economist against all of
always,
this stuff.
And always has been. And what is it?
But he is one of
But
of
how
many.
Is his name? It's Andrew Zimbalist, comma.
Smith College.
Okay. So I'm just saying, don't give an opinion of what you think Smith College believes. It's one guy.
Well, I said economists representing those institutions.
You have this habit of being very macro when I think you should be more micro. And as a filmmaker, you're all about the micro.
Well, I'm being more micro with the dollar figures and the fact that there is a consensus on the subject. That's like saying the loudest scientist about climate change. It's like, that's still a consensus, you know, and this is actually far more conclusory than climate change even is.
Wait a minute. That's a note. Baseball and sports do not help an economy is more certain to you than the climate change issue.
No, what I'm saying is there's even greater consensus amongst the experts than that's what I'm saying.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Oh, I believe those.
Because there's dollars and cents, because they actually analyze metrics. They're not trying to predict the weather.
There aren't a lot of people on your side.
I don't have a side.
Well, you do have a side, and that's the side that you have been unquestionably successful for. And that's what I was saying I appreciate about your consistency. My consistency, people call it my agenda. If I had an agenda in my own self-interest, it would be to just shut up and go along for the ride. My agenda is simply, I don't have the coldness of, and I don't even operate in my business this way, the coldness for the opposition, the Machiavellian way of sort of saying like, the taxpayers, they have incompetent and corrupt people representing
I never
them.
Once
it's not
said
my,
that. I never
that's
once
not my
said
response.
That.
I get it, but, okay,
I never
but,
once
but
said
what I'm saying is I'm
I'll
saying,
let you call me anything you want. I never said the taxpayers, including during his 50th birthday party. It was never about doing that to taxpayers, ever.
But that's what happened.
No.
That's what
Your
happened.
Taxes have not gone up one penny. Your life has not changed one bit because of the Performing Arts Center or Marlins Park or Dolphin Stadium or the state or Burger King being here. Your taxes have not gone up one cent because of those things.
I will say to you, I don't believe that to be entirely true. Okay. As expenses rise, as our infrastructure fails, as public transit continues to prove itself to be completely ineffectual, that revenue, I believe, and I understand the limitations of the bed tax and the TDT, but what I'm saying is that is revenue that could be utilized for other things. Look at Oakland, one of the most dangerous places in the country.
Does your company make money, Billy?
They fire teachers, they fire cops, but they always make payments on those sports stadiums. They have to. Okay. What I'm saying is there is a deterioration. Miami-Dade, all we ever hear from our politicians is how we can't afford this. We can't do that. We can't expand Metro Rail. We can't fix the sewage. We can't. That's all we hear about. But yet we don't miss a payment when it comes to sports welfare. We don't. And I think that is, and I don't blame you and you alone for that. I'm saying there's a playbook, and that playbook, by the way, includes cowboy hats and spurs and showgirls. Part of the extortion of the municipality, we threatened to leave town, has been a decades-long part of the playbook. Major League Baseball.
Page 2 of the playbook.
Right, yeah, they might as well have a PDF.
By not support just sports teams. I'd love to take credit and gloat and say that I reinvented the wheel and I was the greatest thing since sliced bread. It was a pretty easy playbook to follow that any person – I don't even think I needed my law degree, although it helped to read the documents when others didn't. But I'm not convinced – I'm glad you caught that. It was actually funny. But I'm not convinced that anyone couldn't have done what I did because it was not that hard, right? And you think Amazon or Burger King, and I keep mentioning other names, or Ryder or some of the other companies or films who want to film here, do you know when you're the producer of a film, you obviously know this, why you choose to film in certain places? Of course it's incentive-based.
No,
you have to.
No,
there's P&Ls.
I'm just talking about me. I don't. I'm still here. The incentives come and go. I'm still here. I'm still here. My taxes go up, I pay them. My taxes go down, I pay them. I'm still here.
What medal do you want for being
this guy? Don't want a medal.
What do you want?
I don't want a medal, but I also don't want to exploit poor people or broke municipalities to unjustly enrich myself on the backs of them. That's what I'm saying. I'm still here. I didn't move to Atlanta and Georgia like all the other production that you have accurately observed has. I don't make my decisions about my business and my home based on the government's going to give me more money.
Can I ask you a personal question?
When I want to open a new headquarters, or I want a new studio, or I want a new place to do my bit, I call my realtor. I don't call the mayor of the county and say, how much are you going to give me to build me a new office? I hire a realtor. I don't call Francis Suarez or Carlos Alvarez or Carlos Jimenez or Oliver Gilbert. I go.
Billy, do you have investors?
In individual films, sometimes, but the business has strayed from that. It's more of a service industry. We have buyers like ESPN, for example.
Okay.
Yeah, so we don't really have investors.
So the reason I was asking is that if you answered to investors and Georgia versus Miami, you would have an extra $2 million of profit. You're going to shake your head and say, you tell your investors to screw off and you get different investors. They would look at you like you had four eyes and they'd never invest with you again.
I'm shaking my head because you're absolutely right. And it's deplorable. And let me tell you why. For example, I'll give you an example. We did a deal with a very big media company, major player, publicly traded. And in that contract, this is many years ago, in the contract, it required us, in the event that we are doing production, engaged in production in a state that has incentives, we are contractually obligated, which is a tremendous amount of work. As you know, you went after it and got it. It's a trip just to do the paperwork alone to make this multi-billion-dollar multinational corporation, to get them a couple grand or tens of thousands of dollars or whatever. We would have to put in that extra work for no additional money for ourselves. We would have to get that. But what I was saying before is that is a race to the bottom. That is that corporate welfare is a race to the bottom.
Do you take tax deductions on your taxes?
Well, that's what I said. When taxes go up, I pay them.
Do you take tax deductions? Do you know what a deduction is?
I presume so, but
You really don't know the answer to that.
Well, I presume so, but my accountant does my taxes.
You're going to hide behind your accountant right now.
No, I'm not. I'm saying I presume that I do.
I do the same thing. I don't know what's going on there.
No, but
he's
a
creative type.
No,
somebody else handles the bookkeeping.
I'm saying I presume so.
Okay,
you're the bookkeeper. You're the bookkeeper.
No, I'm not.
I can't say yes because I just
By the way, tax deduction, that's taking money away from poor people. That's taking tax money away from people who need it, from police and fire and teachers, just so you know.
Yeah, I believe that there's absolutely loopholes in that.
Not a loophole. It's not a loophole.
It's a law.
It's a legal deduction that your accountant takes that if he didn't, you'd fire him.
I wouldn't know enough to fire him.
Clearly, me neither. Let me go down a path with both of you here before we get out of here. And I do appreciate both of you taking the time. And I very much respect.
You even have a job? What do you mean taking the time? What do you do?
Sits at home
and counts money. He counts
money. I own as much of the team as you did. By the way, I own zero of the team.
Like,
so when people call and say,
you just slide down a pile of gold coins,
I own as much of the team as you did. I got paid a salary when I worked, but I was fired by Jeter the day he took over.
When I said the taxpayers turned a millionaire into a billionaire, I was referring to Jeff Loria, not to you.
Because he owned the team.
Absolutely.
95%
but
of the team.
But the disconnect between you two, and I know you disagree vehemently on this, is that you are peddling something that I care about, civic pride, emotional attachment to a region. And he's telling you, look, I care about this too, but I am a businessman first and foremost. And your civic pride thing doesn't, my job was to make money for my owner.
Don't worry, you've done your penance for the birthday party. You have your absolution.
I anoint you.
Right. I anoint you.
Let's end it right there.
All I wanted was the knighting of civic act. That's the only reason. You should storm out of here right now. That was my agenda. You've finally been manipulated by me. Just like your family believes that I've been doing for years.
From me, from Mr. 786 himself. I have
set this whole thing up. What a dick.
Our thanks to David Sampson and Billy Corbin. We will get Billy Corbin in here to talk about this movie that he's doing about baseball in Miami, which is crazy. It is a movie I saw, and it was excellent, and it showed you what a clown show Miami baseball merging on this stuff was. Next week, we're going to talk on the podcast to one of the literal Lebatard and Friends, Dominique Foxworth. He's been around here for a while. We've all grown to love him. Why are you smiling, Mike? What are you laughing
at? Because I remember that recording session. It got out of hand. It's not really like one of the typical South Beach sessions. Dominique wasn't here for NPR somber conversation. That was actually more of a fight than the David Sampson, Billy Corbin interview.
Well, one of the mistakes I made is daring to call Dominique Foxworth not that great of an athlete. And that's where it spun out. Anyway, that's next week. Rate, subscribe, review, support what it is that we're doing around here, because these conversations will be like menu items over time here. The podcast, Stupidity, Mina's podcast, and all the other stuff that we've got coming to you from Lebatard and Friends. So support the sponsor, ZipRecruiter, and make sure it's ZipRecruiter.com/, and you spell the word Beach Out to support us. Dominique Foxworth next week.